Invite you to open your copy of God's Holy Word with me this morning to 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. When I think of our theme for this year and I think of being faithful servants, my mind is immediately brought to one of the Old Testament prophets by the name of Elisha. And in this particular passage, he demonstrates his faithfulness in a number of ways. We're going to find that as he is traveling with his mentor, as he is serving as an apprentice to Elijah, he is invited to stay at certain places. And he determines he won't stay there, but he's going to faithfully stay with Elijah until the Lord would call him to heaven. It's that kind of faithfulness that I want to talk to all of us about this morning. It's the kind of faithfulness that I think is important for us to recognize, because every one of us have those certain places in our life where we demonstrated faith. And I believe those places are seen in the text in the various physical places that Elijah and Elisha traveled. And as we look at this text, we're going to immediately sort of scratch our heads and say, why in the world would they take this route? Well, I want to suggest there's a really good reason why they didn't, why they took this route and some other one. And one of the reasons is this. They didn't have one of these. This is a really neat apparatus. You plug it into your vehicle, and you hit a couple of buttons, and you tell it where you want to go. You don't even have to tell it where you are. It already figures that out for you. And you can even tell it points of interest you want to go along the way. Now, this particular brand is called a Garmin. It's a GPS, and it's really neat. You can sit back, and then down the road you go. I haven't had this one very long, and picked it up on eBay. And during spring break, when I was traveling south to South Carolina, traveling down in North Carolina area on Route 220, my cell phone rang, and I admit I did not pull over and take that call. I just picked it up and answered it. And so I'm talking to my wife. She's on the other end of the phone, and we're talking. And all of a sudden, this thing says, turn right in, you know, a quarter of a mile or whatever it is. Well, this thing is voice activated. And I guess if you've got enough money and can get the more expensive brand, you can choose what voice you want, a man's or a woman's. Well, this one doesn't have a choice. It just has a woman's voice. And my wife said, who was that? And I said, well, that was Rita. She said, what? I call it Rita. We talk to each other as I drive down the road. And of course, the closer you get, it goes on. It says, turn right, you know. And so she said, who is that? I said, that's Rita. That's my GPS. And so pretty interesting. I also want to say that there's a new stretch of 220 opened, which is great, and bypasses Ellerby and some of those smaller towns there in North Carolina. But that hasn't been updated on the GPS yet. And when I look at the GPS, it shows me off in some field, and it just keeps going over and over, recalculating, and make a U-turn as soon as possible, and all this other stuff. But assuming that the roads have been placed in there and all, it's really nice, because it will direct you right to the front door. Right to the front door. I had occasion as I came back through on that spring break to stop at Connie and Dan Alderman's home in Greensboro, North Carolina. They're alumni of the college. And I had their address, but I couldn't have gotten there if they had drove me a map. But I was able to put the address in this thing, and it took me right to the front door. And it says, you are now arriving at your destination. And sure enough, right there I was. Pretty neat. Well, that's probably why these locations are given in the Scriptures, because they did not have a GPS. Because certainly the order in which these locations were visited are not in the proper order the way you and I would establish a trip. I could say at least probably with some degree of certainty that Elijah was not a member of AAA and he did not get a triptych. Notice, if you will, as we begin reading in chapter 2, verse 1, and it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? He said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I shall be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I'm taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. It came to pass as they went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah and that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? When he had so smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. These particular places that are mentioned in this text, I believe, are places where you and I have had opportunity to demonstrate faith. Again, these would not be the route that you and I would take. Typically, we would start, if we were just to visit these four places, we would start at one end or the other, and probably in this case, we would have started at the Jordan River, flowing down from the Sea of Galilee, down through the Jordan Valley and emptying into the Dead Sea. We would have started there at Jordan, perhaps on the wilderness on the east side, and then we would have crossed Jordan, and we would come to Gilgal, that very place where Joshua had led the nation of Israel after he assumed leadership and before they fought against Jericho. Not far from this place, Gilgal, is that great walled city of Jericho. And we would have visited there next because it's just a little bit to the north and just a little bit to the west. And from there, we would have crossed the valley of Jordan, and we would have climbed up the mountains that make that valley on the western side, and we would have peeked off the top of that, and we would have backpacked down that mountain into the valley below on the west side to that place of Bethel. But instead, they crisscross, go back and forth. And really, it makes no logical sense when you just look at a map and look at the places they went. And I want to pause just for a moment and say that all of us probably would love to have a God connect to us with a GPS and just simply tell us where we need to go every part of the day. We love the Lord and we'd just do it. Wouldn't it be so much easier if we just had one and maybe it was on our wristwatch and the Lord said, all right, I want you to go to the cafeteria now. And then while we're there, he'd say, the voice would come across our GPS and say, all right, I want you to go to the salad bar today. You know, and we just did it. I want to quickly point out that we do have a GPS. The Bible teaches us that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The will of God and His perfect will and giving us where we should go every day, those things are not hard, they're not hidden. They're those things where if you and I, with all of our heart, love the Lord our God, and we're in His Word and we love Him more than anything, and we go to Him as we make decisions, He's going to guide us. He's promised to do that. We don't even have to go on eBay and get one. Now, apparently everybody knows what's going to take place. One of the reasons I believe they visited these places, there is enough evidence to indicate that there was probably a Bible college at each of these locations. It was a school of the prophets, today's Bible college. And perhaps because Elijah knows that he's going to be taken to heaven, he wants to visit those places one last time and perhaps give some instruction, some encouragement, perhaps deliver a final message. And as he goes, everybody apparently knows what's going to go on, because as he goes to a couple of these places recorded in our passage, the sons of the prophets are there. These students in Bible college are saying to Elisha, they're saying, do you know what's going to happen today? It's sort of like they wanted to let him know that they knew. You know, it's interesting sometimes in class, some of your students will come up to some of us as instructors and say, did you know? You knew we knew. You just wanted us to know that you knew. Think about that. Led of the Lord, though, when I look at the passage and I study it carefully, I have to keep coming back and saying, why these four? Why in this order? We all know how important names are in the Old Testament. And so I want us to visit now these four places of faith. And I want to encourage all of our hearts to find ourselves faithful. They first go to Gilgal in chapter 2, verse 1. Gilgal, I believe, represents a place of conversion. A place of conversion. It was at Gilgal where Joshua now has crossed the Jordan River on dry ground with all the men of Israel. And as they go now to prepare to make battle against Jericho, that great walled city, they realize there's some unattended business that needs to be cared for. And it's there then that they take a flint knife and they sharpen it. And each of the men who had been wandering in the wilderness had to be circumcised. The name Gilgal can be interpreted a place of cutting or a cutting away, but it's also more popularly known as a place of rolling away. It's a picture of rolling away of the foreskin in the act of circumcision. But I want to suggest that the first place you and I were ever asked to exercise faith, I'm talking about biblical, godly faith, was at that place of conversion for you and me. A place where we, with at least bowed hearts and bended mind before the Lord with repentance, said, I'm sorry for my sin. And we put our trust and our faith in Jesus Christ and in Jesus alone. And we trusted Him as our personal Savior. And at that moment, all of our sins were rolled away. And our old man was cut off. You and I exercise faith, simple, childlike faith, and we believed in the death, burial, and bodily resurrection, in the shed blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross, and we were saved. Have you been saved? And I just don't want to say that it's something that preachers in a pulpit should say. I want you to be able to stop for a moment and consciously think about that question and answer it within your heart. Have you been saved? Have you had your sins rolled away? Have you experienced that new man that comes by faith believing in Jesus Christ? There at this place of conversion. And Elijah turns to Elisha and says, tarry here. Just stay here. Students of the scripture will realize that already the mantle has been symbolically given, passed. Elijah's walking along and Elisha is out plowing, and while he's out plowing his field, Elijah comes to him and says nothing to him other than he just takes off that mantle, which is sort of like a prayer shawl. And he just takes that mantle off and he just lays it on Elisha. And Elisha says, well, can I at least go back and say goodbye to my folks? He understood what that meant. He understood that he was being called of God by the prophet of God to come and serve as an apprentice to become the next prophet. That privilege and opportunity was going to be his, but he had to be faithful. And I believe that Elijah is putting him to the test. Elijah is not doing this as a commandment. He's doing this as a test. And testing his faith. Not only is there Elijah testing his faith, but there's the sons of the prophets. Because they're coming and they're saying, do you know what's going to happen? You know, a little bit of peer pressure. Now listen to me carefully. The kind of faith that we've been preaching and we've been celebrating this semester in any number of wonderful ways this school year. While you may have been at the place of conversion, wherever that might be, for me it was in a little independent Baptist church in Rand, West Virginia, Farah Memorial Baptist Church. And as a 5-year-old boy, I stepped out of the second pew. And I walked to the front of that church and I got on my knees in an old altar and I just didn't know exactly what to do, but I knew I needed to be saved. But you see, the real walk of faith that we need means that we can't stay at that place. We've got to go beyond that place. And I'm so burdened and concerned for so many of our church members and so many of our people in our churches that they're saved and they're glad to be saved, and praise God they are, but they don't want to exercise faith beyond that. And every year I see students in the start of a year come in and you're so fired up and you're so excited. God's called me, and those are the words you use. God's called me to do this and called me to do that. And you share your testimonies, and it's a great thing. And you've gone beyond Gilgal. You've gone, as it were, to Bethel, which is a place of communion. Jacob is known for naming that place back in Genesis chapter 28. You know the account that took place. And there he had that dream and saw the ladder extended into heaven and recognized that this certainly must be the house of God. And so he named that place just that, Bethel, house of God. And you've been saved and you've gone beyond Gilgal. And though there have been those who've tried to keep you in that place, you said, no, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to go beyond just saving faith. I want to go to a place where I am regularly being challenged in God's Word. You may call it your quiet time. It extends to your church attendance as you go to each of the opportunities that your church has. Midweek services, Sunday schools, and home Bible studies, and other opportunities. And you're there and you're under sound preaching and you say amen. And it's just a wonderful place of communion. And it's so good to be so close to God. But what happens when you go home? And where is it written? And how could we practice a lifestyle that says, I can be observed and watched, and there are those that could say, why, I'm in church, there's a Christian. And yet outside the confines of that area, no one would make such an accusation. See, there was the faith that you needed to be saved. There's the, as it were, the practicing faith that you need to serve. And can we serve Him if we're not in that place of communion? For you students that are here enrolled, I applaud you, because I believe you have gone beyond the place of conversion. And I believe you have come to a place where you've made a decision, at least in part, to determine and dedicate yourself to the study of God's Word and to follow Him faithfully. But 20 years of experience and instruction at Appalachian Bible College has taught me that not everyone that started this year will return next year. And that burdens me. And the reason for that is because something's going to take place in your life this summer. Here they are now at Bethel, at this place of communion, and no doubt they could rehearse the history of that place, and no doubt they knew that that was a very special place for the nation of Israel, and no doubt they probably paused there, and they probably prayed there, and they probably communed with God in that place, and then they're done, and Elijah says to Elisha, tarry here, just stay right here. That's a good place to be, the house of God. But are we really servants if we never serve Him outside of His house? So next they go to a place of conflict. And I'm afraid, and I'm fearful for some students that are here, that this summer you're going to be in a place of conflict. And that doesn't necessarily mean it's because you'll have a secular job. For some of you, the greatest conflict is going to come in a place of ministry this summer. But the enemy is going to show himself strong. And the people around are going to perhaps try to dissuade you. And the conflict is going to be so great. And you're going to be tempted to say, it's not worth it. And somehow you've lost that special call of God. Somehow God's changed his mind. You do know better, don't you? And you just say, I just quit. I quit. Not coming back. I'm not going to faithfully follow the course God set for me earlier. That conflict might be seen in another person. Could be seen in a parent, sibling, a spouse, that special somebody, a friend. The conflict can take place in any number of ways. It could be a physical conflict with your own health. It could be an economic conflict with your finances. And oh, how Satan can strategize and how he can fortify and strengthen himself, knowing your weaknesses, to cause you to just say, I want to quit. Reminds me of the black preacher who raised himself from his seat and came to the pulpit and opened his Bible and looked at his congregation and finally closed his Bible and said, I quit, and sat down. As the custom in that black church was, the deacon sat behind him. And one deacon on one side leaned forward and looked down the other line of deacons and said, Preacher, why do you quit? And the preacher said, Because you all remind me of warped boards. Another deacon on the other side said, What do you mean warped boards, preacher? He said, I can't get you people straight. He said, I nail some of y'all down over here and straighten you up, and then over here y'all all out. I go over here, nail y'all down, and over here in the middle y'all all. He said, I can't get you straight. I quit. About that time, another deacon said, Well, preacher, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to be a mortician. Preacher, why are you going to be a mortician? He said, because this time when I get you straight, you stay that way. I don't know what conflicts you're going to face. You're going to face them. But are you going to be faithful in those valley experiences? Are you going to be faithful to God's calling? Are you going to stick with it? And that takes a strong faith. There's that faith that was needed when you were saved and God provided it. And you believed. There's that practicing faith that we need to walk close to God in a place of communion. Then there's that faith that we need to stand strong against the enemy in the time of conflict. But then they go to Jordan. And if Gilgal is a place of conversion, and if Bethel is a place of communion, and Jericho is a place of conflict, then I believe Jordan is a place of commitment. Can you imagine? Elisha knows that a whirlwind is going to come from heaven, and it's going to take his master, his mentor, to heaven. They come to the Jordan River, and this is no small creek. And Elijah takes his mantle and strikes the waters, and the waters part. And they part and build up on themselves. And the scripture says they walk over on dry ground. Now, Elisha knows that God is going to come get Elijah. What if it happens to be in the middle of the Jordan River? And after all, what's on the other side? It's just wilderness. There's no people to preach to. There's no opportunities for ministry. They're leaving all that when they go eastward and cross the Jordan River. You see, crossing the Jordan, folks, and going into, as it were, on into that wilderness experience that's over there. Any time the nation of Israel crossed the Jordan, it was a time of commitment. And God called them to commitment. And He reminded them, He said, when you're in the promised land and you're in the Canaan land, He said, if you'll love me and keep my commandments and you'll worship no other gods but me, He says, I'll bless the socks off of you. He was committed to them. They had to do their part. How committed are you to show forth faithfulness and finish what God has for you? You see, I've come to learn and appreciate that it's not the faith in which you got saved, but it's the faithfulness in which you've served the Lord at the end that's going to have the Lord stand one day as we're before Him and say, well done, good and faithful servant. It's how we finish. My question in closing today is this. There's so much more I wanted to say, but listen to me carefully. My question is, the question is not, where is the Lord God of Elijah? The question is this, where are the Elijahs of the Lord God? Where are those Elijahs and Elishas who will faithfully stand by the stuff? Who will determine, I will be faithful till the end, no matter what. Elisha shows his faithfulness in boldly asking for a double portion. And there's a lot I wanted to say about that and a lot I want to say about the mantle, but my time's gone. Listen to me carefully. I want to ask you to be at a place of commitment today and say, I will finish. I am an Elijah of the Lord God. And by His grace, I will exercise the discipline. I will exercise the determination. I will exercise the deployments that's needed for me to be able to finish well. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder if there are any Elijahs of the Lord God here today. Perhaps prior to this message, you've been wavering somewhat in your faith. You've been struggling. You know that God is able. The problem isn't with Him. But in your faith, you've been struggling. Some of you already are contemplating, as we register next week for classes in the fall, whether you're even coming back. Perhaps this message has challenged you to stand up and say, I'll be an Elijah of the Lord God. I'm going to finish. And to God's glory, I'm going to finish well. You see, I believe it's a choice you have to make. And I don't know who I'm speaking to and who the Spirit of God right now is speaking to through the Word of God, but someone here has been wavering, but today you've determined, I'm going to make that decision. I'm going to be an Elijah of the Lord God. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you've made that decision today, or perhaps you've made it earlier and you just want to recommit that decision, sort of go back to Bethel and give that to the Lord again. If you've made that kind of a decision, in the stillness of these moments, with just an uplifted hand, raise it, take it back down, would you say, Mr. Pritt, I want to be an Elijah of the Lord God. Pray for me. Thank you. Yes, thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Yes. Father, every hand raised toward heaven represents a heart, and you look upon the heart, and you know the hearts, and you know the needs. Father, in this generation, I pray that you would raise up many Elijahs, many Elishas, who will be faithful to the end, commit themselves to your glory, to do great and wonderful things, because our God is great and wonderful. Thank you for these decisions. As we commit them to you, I pray now that you will call to remembrance these decisions as needed in the days and the weeks and the months ahead, as we look forward to raising a new generation of people who will turn this world upside down. For the cause of Christ, we pray in His name.